life. And this morning, we're going to learn the name Yeshua. Now, how many of you have heard of the name Yeshua? Praise the Lord. Now, in English, we say Joshua, just like the name of Joshua back there. Now, in Hebrew, it is the Hebrew word Yeshua. Now, this Hebrew language is the language spoken before Christ was born. In Greek, it is Iesus. It is the spoken language during the time of Christ here on earth, from which we get the English pronunciation, Jesus. But whether it is Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, or Jesus, they are all one and the same. Perhaps pronounced differently depending on the language, but they all mean the same thing. And that means Yeshua means God is salvation. That means literally, Yeshua means God is salvation. So now, what is the blessing we can claim from this name? How can this name meet my everyday need? Now, when I was studying this passage and this name, I was amazed that the blessings we can claim or receive from the name Yeshua are some of the things that mothers do on a regular basis to their children and to their husbands and to their families. So I am so excited to share with you the blessings we can claim from this name. So if you could turn your Bible to the book of Titus chapter 2 verses 11 through 14. Or if you want, you can always turn on your Bible app to Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14. And in honor of the reading of the Word of God, let's all stand up as we read the book of Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14. And if you have found it, say salvation.
Salvation.
Amen. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all the wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. You may be seated. I always like to go over and look at the background of whatever book we read today. So the book of Titus actually was the Apostle Paul's letter to Titus, a young pastor then in a church in Crete. Now Crete is actually in modern day, it is the largest island in the country of Greece. Now here, the book of Titus was written by the Apostle Paul as a letter primarily to warn Titus about false teachers in Crete, but also to warn him about the people who are professing or pretending to be Christ. But also, he tells them about the importance of living righteous, because the fruit or the sign or the proof that a person is truly saved is through him living a righteous life. And then thirdly, he emphasized on the deity or the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that Jesus is God. Now, quite interesting that when the Apostle Paul wrote this to Titus, he just came out of Roman imprisonment. He traveled to Corinth and he wrote this letter in AD 64, saying all these things to Titus. But once again, one of the emphasis of Paul in this letter is that Jesus is the Yeshua, that Jesus is the God of salvation. But he also emphasized to us the blessings we can claim from this name. So if you go back to the verses that we just read in verses 11 through 14, there are three blessings that we can claim from this name, Yeshua. The first one is hope. The first one is hope. The first blessing of Yeshua is He is the giver of hope. Look at verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, before I talk to you further about that hope that God gives us because He is Yeshua, I would like for us to focus on the clear reference of the Apostle Paul on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what the Bible says again, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means Jesus is God. I always find it so amusing that many religions out there are always saying that Jesus is not God. He's only a Savior, like Jehovah's Witness or Mormonism or even this big Filipino religion called Iglesia Ni Cristo. They're always saying that Jesus is not God. But clearly, Paul tells us here that Jesus is the great God and Savior. Now, at my work in therapy world, one of the things that I would do every time I would enter a patient's room for the first time to do an evaluation is to check their orientation. Not in terms of gender, but in terms of mental or cognitive orientation. In other words, I need to find out if they are alert and oriented. So I would ask them questions such as, what is your name? What is your birthday? Do you know where you are? What year is it? And one of my favorite questions that I would always ask my patient on the first day is, do you know who's the president of the United States? And of course, because we are in Texas, many of them would say, we don't have a president right now. But what's interesting there is this. Many of them would say this, we don't have a president. We may have a commander-in-chief right now, but we don't have a president. And in my head, but wait a second. Isn't that a president and commander-in-chief are one and the same? Same thing with what Paul is saying here. Paul said, Jesus is the great God and Savior. That means Jesus is the God and Savior. He is not just a Savior, He is also God. They are one and the same. But the people who deny the deity, that Jesus is God, the people who deny the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ would resort back to the Bible and said, look, for instance, in Isaiah 12, it says that God is salvation. It did not say Jesus is salvation, right? God is salvation. And yet, if we look back closer in the scriptures, many, many scriptures. For instance, Luke 2:11, 1 John 4:14, that would say that Jesus is the Savior. So therefore, using a deductive reasoning or deductive logic, we learned that in high school, remember that? Remember deductive reasoning? I don't want to lose you. Remember the deductive logic? In other words, you have two premises to come up with the conclusion. You following me here? Remember that, learning that in high school when someone would say, for instance, the premise one is this, man is sinful. Premise number two, Joe is a man. Therefore, Joe is sinful. You following me here? That's a deductive reasoning. Or for instance, we say this, an apple is a fruit. Red Delicious is an apple. Therefore, Red Delicious is a fruit. You following me here? That's deductive reasoning. Or the same thing. You know, the president is the commander-in-chief. Obama is the commander-in-chief. Therefore, Obama is the president. Something like that. Jesus tells us here in the scripture, look at what Paul said in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Who brings salvation? God. But the one who brought salvation appeared to men. And who is that God who appeared to men? Jesus. Therefore, God is salvation. Jesus is Savior. Therefore, Jesus is God. Are you following me here? Plain and simple, using a deductive reasoning. But go back to verse 13. Jesus being our great God and Savior, which means this, Jesus is our Yahweh Yeshua. Jesus is Yahweh Yeshua, but He is also the giver of hope. Look at verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope. Now, what is the blessed hope? It always pertains to the hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Look at what it says. To the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means time will come where we will see Jesus again face to face. Time will come that our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming back and we will see Him in all of His glory. And for us Christians, that is our greatest hope, that Jesus is coming back, which simply means this, because Jesus is coming back, the best is yet to come. Praise the Lord. The best is yet to come. That you may be struggling right now in life. Maybe life is hard right now. Maybe life is a challenge. But you have the hope that it's going to be fine. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Why? Because the best is yet to come. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because He is our hope. Look at what it says in Colossians 1:27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Isn't that a blessing for us that back in the days, it was a complete mystery. Who is God? What does He do? He is transcendent. I don't know Him. I cannot see Him. And yet to us, that mystery has been revealed. It has been opened up to us that the mystery is this, that Christ is your hope of glory, which means the best is yet to come. And I was thinking of that. Jesus is the giver of hope. I have hope because of Jesus. And I thought, mothers are like Yeshua, the giver of hope. Now, I'm not saying that a mother is Jesus or Yeshua or God, but a mother is a giver of hope. Just like in my family, every time my wife is there, I feel like there is hope that everything is going to be better, everything is going to be fine. Why? Because my wife is there, the mother of my children. And just like this mother who was in the process of tucking her little boy to bed on one spring night, but it was a bad night because there was a thunderstorm. And so there was thunder and lightning and rain and hail. I hope it would not happen this coming week to us. But nonetheless, when the mother was tucking her little boy in the bed with all this thunderstorm happening, the little boy, with his voice trembling, said to his mother, "Mommy, would you stay here with me tonight? Because I'm scared." And so the mother went back to the bed, gave the boy a big, reassuring, warm hug, and with a smile and with tender voice, said to her child, "You'll be fine. You're a big boy now. You'll be all right in spite of the storm. But I cannot sleep here today with you. I have to go back and sleep in Daddy's room. You know, the big baby." But the mother is a giver of hope. Yeshua is a giver of hope. That because Yeshua is our hope, everything will be fine. The hope that we have that because Jesus is Yeshua, everything will be all right in my life. It's only going to get better. It's not going to get worse if Yeshua is your Yeshua. If you are the one expecting Him to come for you. And if that's the case, then the best is yet to come. Would you make Him your Yeshua, the giver of hope today? The second blessing of the name Yeshua is this, salvation. Salvation, look at verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means Jesus being the Savior, that means He is the God of salvation. He is the source of salvation. He is the giver of salvation. And that is one of the greatest blessings, if not the greatest blessing of this name, that God has given us salvation. That means we are saved. That means God has delivered us. So now the question is this. I don't want to lose you. The question is this, which people would always ask. Well, salvation from what? Jesus is my Savior. But I got saved from what? Exactly. Saved from the judgment and punishment and wrath of God because of sin. Now, we cannot say, then I'm exempted because I have no sin. No, we were all born sinners. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Psalm 51, verse 5, it says this, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. At the moment that your mother learned that she is pregnant with you, at that moment that you were just conceived in your belly, you are already a sinner. I was already a sinner. But because of Jesus, who is our Savior, expecting this judgment of God upon us because of our sin. Look at what it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. I mean, God, through Jesus and through His Word, have warned us already of this impending judgment, of this impending punishment, of this wrath of God that is coming upon those who are sinners. And there's no way we can avoid it. The only way we can avoid it is if we make Jesus our Savior today. There's no way that we can stay away or move far away from the judgment of God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God of salvation, the one who saves, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But in the Bible, when the Bible talks about in general as Jesus is the Savior, it doesn't necessarily only pertain to Jesus saving us from the judgment of God, from the punishment of God, or from the wrath of God. The Bible also talks about that when you are saved, that means Jesus is in your life, that means you have received His salvation, the blessing of Yeshua, that means God through Jesus has empowered you. God has empowered you to say no to ungodly and worldly things. Look at what it says in verse 12. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. But who's the one who can empower us to give us the ability to say no to worldly and ungodly sinful things? Well, Jesus the Savior. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Why? To teach us to say no to ungodliness. In other words, apart from Yeshua, apart from Jesus the Savior, you cannot live a righteous life. Why? Because His salvation is transforming. His salvation is changing. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how much striving you do, no matter how much praying you do, no matter how much many times you come to Cap Rock Church, no matter how many times you read this word and memorize this word, no matter how many times you have served at this church, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot live a righteous life. But another thing that the Bible talks about in the Bible when it comes to Jesus as Savior is Jesus is our rescuer. That's right. So Jesus saved us from the penalty of sin, but also He empowers us to say no to ungodly things. But He also, in a way, is our rescuer. Rescuer from the pain of the past. Rescuer from heartache, from hurt. Rescuer from guilt because of our shame. Rescuer from the agony of our failure. Rescuer from betrayal, self-esteem, low self-esteem, disappointment, insecurity, pride, and legalism, and worries and fears. He is our rescuer from those things. And I was thinking of that. And a mother is like a rescuer as well. Our mother is also a Savior in a way, just like our Yeshua. Isn't that our mother is a rescuer of stained prom dress? A rescuer of a ripped costume? our rescuer of our disappointment from relationship, our rescuer from incomplete school project, our rescuer from broken heart, rescuer of leftover food, rescuer of crooked hair or eyebrows, rescuer of severed relationship, rescuer of our dirty homes, rescuer of our bathrooms, rescuer of our laundry, rescuer of our house, rescuer of even the biggest baby in the house. The mother is the rescuer. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing that our mother is also like a Savior. But Jesus is our ultimate Savior. And listen, God brought you here today because He wants to save you. He wants to give you the free gift of salvation. It's a free gift. And just like any other gift, just like any other gift, the only thing that you can have this gift is if you receive this gift. Unless you receive the gift, then you will not have the gift. Same thing. God has given you or giving you a free gift today, a free gift of salvation, and therefore He is offering it to you for free. The only thing you can have it is if you will receive it in your heart. Would you be willing to receive Him in your heart today? Would you receive the gift of salvation? And then thirdly, redemption. The third blessing of Yeshua is redemption. Look at verse 14. Who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Now the word redeem is quite interesting because in the original language of the Bible, that word redeem in English literally means this: to pay the price. In other words, to redeem means someone who is held captive is now going to be set free because someone is going and willing to pay the price. In other words, someone is willing to pay the ransom, payment in exchange for. The reason that this person who is captive is now can be set free is because of the payment made by someone as a ransom. And Jesus did the same thing to us. He paid the price. He bought us. He paid the penalty of sin that is demanded by God's justice. He paid it with His own life. He paid it with His own body and blood, so we don't have to pay it ourselves, and therefore releasing us from captivity. Why? Because Jesus became our ransom. Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. So that means, what is the blessing that we can claim from this name Yeshua besides hope and salvation is redemption, which means that Jesus paid it all for you so you can be set free. So that means redemption means to be set free. God has set you free. Now, I always find that so cliche. How many of you have heard that before? Jesus paid the price. Jesus bought you with His own blood. We were just singing that a while ago. You know, He saved you and He set you free. But have you ever thought of this? Set you free from what?
From sin.
Is it really just sin?
No, from judgment.
From judgment?
Yeah.
The answer is found in verse 14. Look at what it says in verse 14. Who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. Because He has set us free from all wickedness. And what's wickedness? The time that we were all captured by sin and be captured by the enemy, that we're all affiliated with darkness, when we are in bondage to lawlessness. Do you know that at one point, before He redeemed you, you were all in bondage to darkness? And therefore, every time there is a temptation, you always give in. Every time you commit a sin, there is no asking God for forgiveness. Every time you commit the sin, you commit it the same day, the following day, a month later, a year later. You do it over and over, and you make this excuse, well, I'm already in it, and I'm already sinning. Might as well continue doing it. But that means you are simply in bondage to sin. But because Jesus paid the price, He set you free. He set you free. In 1525, a British museum there in London had this map or a mariner's chart outlining the North American coastline. Now, the cartographer, the one who created the map, the one who created the mariner's chart, was simply gleaning from the seafarers or ocean crews who would go out there in the ocean and explore. And so now he would ask the people, what did you see there? So on that map, on that mariner's chart, there would be notations. For instance, this is where you would find reefs. This is where you would find best harbors. This is where you find great fish. This is where you're going to see beautiful ocean stuff. And yet on the same map are blank sections. They're relatively blank and has nothing there but inscriptions or notations. So that means that relatively blank area, no one has ever gone there. But the cartographer, wanting to show this map so people want to understand the North American shoreline, then outlining again the North American coastline, put little notations on the blank ones that no one had gone before. For instance, a notation such as, here be the giants. Here be dragons. Here be fiery scorpions. Here be monsters. And because of that chart, because of that mariner's map, many of the seafarers, every time they would travel on the ocean by boat, they would have this fear. They would be captured by this fear of those unknown, unseeable, and uncontrollable places. The unknown and the fear ruled over them. Now, in 1800s, a seafarer, a British explorer by the name of Sir John Franklin, bought that map. When he looked at the map, he did not like what he saw on the map. Why? Because he was offended because of the fear of those ancient mariners. And so looking at the map, he saw all those blank sections, once again with inscriptions such as, here be giants, here be fiery scorpions, here be dragons, here be monsters. He didn't like it. So what he did is he altered that map and removed and scratched and removed all those notations, and he replaced them all with this. Here is God. Praise the Lord. Now think about that for a second. What's the point of that story? Being Jesus our Redeemer. Once, because we are captured by darkness. Once, we have notations on ourselves too. We have notations on ourselves such as, I am worthless. I am a disgrace. I am a nobody. I am a sinner. I am good for nothing. And yet Yeshua, our Redeemer, came and paid the price and bought us. And all those notations, he did not like. He was offended by it. So he replaced every single one of them with one single notation. This is mine, paid in full. Praise the Lord. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. So that means the notation has been replaced. You no longer would say, I am worthless. You are not worthless. You are worth it. I am a disgrace. No, you're not a disgrace. You are saved by grace. I am a nobody. No, you're not a nobody. You are a somebody before the eyes of God. You are good for nothing. No, you're not good for nothing. You are His everything. Why? Because Jesus paid the price and bought the price. You are not just unknown. You are well known before Him. Why? Because of what Jesus did, redeeming you with His own blood. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Because I know many of you here are saying to yourself, I am a sinner. No, you're not. You are a saint, not a sinner. Many of you are putting down yourself. Many of you are saying, I am nobody. Many of you do have low self-esteem. Get it up! Get it up! Why? Because He bought you with a price. He is your Redeemer. I was thinking, you know, mothers are redeemers too. In a way. Why? Because mothers are redeemers, because no matter how prodigal a child has become, the mother is always there, ready to receive the child with her arms open wide. You know, mothers are redeemers because no matter how bad the child has turned out to be, the mother still sees her child as a gift from God. No matter how the child has become so rebellious, the mother is still there, ready to accept this gift from God. Moms are redeemers too. And the blessing of that is this, that because a mother is a redeemer, she grapples with the idea of applying tough love. You know, a mother grapples with the thought of showing tough love with their child. In other words, you know, when someone would tell a mother, oh, just show him or her tough love. Let them fall. Let them fail. Let them falter. Let them suffer the consequence of their wrongdoing. But a mother grapples with it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh,
why?
Yeah.
Because a mother's love is never tough. It's always tender. And so therefore, a mother is always receiving and accepting.
You know what you say, Pastor? Come on now.
You know, Yeshua. Yeshua, what a beautiful name, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What a beautiful name. Can you imagine Yeshua is filled with hope, salvation, and redemption? Three things that people are dying to have nowadays. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, people are thinking, if I could just have this career, then I can have a better hope. No, you can't. If I can only have my children being all good to me, then I can have all this salvation. No, you can't. If I can only work and get paid this amount and travel and do all these great things, then I can have this redemption. No, you can't.
Come on now. Preach it.
But Jesus, Yeshua, His name is filled with hope, salvation, and redemption. All these things we can appreciate from our Savior Jesus. But listen, to simply appreciate that name won't cut it. To simply appreciate that name won't do the trick. To simply appreciate that name won't do you any good in terms of Him meeting your everyday need. To simply appreciate Him won't do it. You must appropriate Him. That means you have to receive Him into your life. You have to make the decision today that in order for me to have hope, in order for me to have salvation, in order for me to have redemption, I must receive Him. I must make the choice. I am receiving you into my heart today. Is Jesus your Yeshua today? Would you make Him your Yeshua today? God has brought you here today. It's never an accident that God has brought you here today. God wants you to be here. Because He's offering you a free gift. Right now, what is your choice? You have a choice to make today. Whatever you heard today, it's not just something that you receive here and let it out the other ear. You must bring it down to your heart. Let's pray.